This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, who is the author of a number of books, including Funding Evil, How Terrorism is Financed, and How to Stop It. We want to get her thoughts today because of the FBI arresting at least three people now here in the United States in connection with Faisal Shahzad, the man who is believed to be responsible for the attempted car bombing in Times Square a couple of weeks ago. And Dr. Ehrenfeld, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
One of the reasons these people are in custody, and perhaps the main reason, is because they helped to finance Shahzad, who was unemployed, and the federal government, wisely, trying to understand how he was able to support all these trips back and forth from Pakistan, put the bomb together, get an emergency ticket out of the country before he was apprehended. And basically, we're starting to learn about this money trail now and how it generally works in terrorist circles. We're hearing about a word called hawala, and I know that's something you're very familiar with and have been for a long time. How does this finance system tend to work?
Hawala was developed, actually, it's based in Islamic law, in Islamic jurisprudence, and has been around since at least the 8th century. It has been used when the Arabs were, you know, businessmen. They were traveling the world doing business. They needed some kind of a system in order to be able to finance it. Since there was no Islamic banking is a new invention, they developed this based on Islamic jurisprudence. They developed this system where you can actually transfer the value of things. It works the following. If I live in Pakistan and I want to send money to somebody in the United States, I go to somebody I know who does a lot of business in the United States. It doesn't have to be an official, or everybody knows that he's has a registered hawaladir, that's how they are called, but somebody who does a lot of business in the U.S. I go to him and I tell him, look, my cousin lives in Manhattan. I know he needs money. I need to send him the equivalent of $5,000. So the trader will tell him, okay, you know, he gives him the equivalent of $5,000 in local currency, and he gives a little bit of some kind of fee, which is usually, I don't know, it's not more than 2%. It depends on the amount of money. But hawala is not being used to transfer huge amounts of money. The trader in Pakistan calls one of his business traders in Manhattan and says, give $5,000, deliver, or here are the details of the person, and you need to give him $5,000. This is done through a telephone call. There is no wire transfer. Money actually did not leave Pakistan, did not enter the United States, because the person in Manhattan finds the cousin and calls him up, and he gives him $5,000, and it can be faster than any money transfer in the bank.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, how easy or difficult is it to interdict this type of system? Obviously, we've talked for years about how cutting off funding for terrorists is a major way of helping to limit their reach, but how difficult is it to break through this little system and track it all down and figure out who's responsible?
Well, I really don't think that we can. It doesn't seem that we can, because as we see now, when something happens and Shahzad apparently talked, that's how law enforcement is able to identify the people that supported him financially. Because this is being used not only to fund terrorism, although it's a wonderful way to fund terrorist acts, because the terrorist acts themselves don't cost that much money. Even the flight to the ticket to Dubai costs a few thousand dollars. The bond was not much. The truck that he bought was not much, the SUV. So, you know, it's a few thousand dollars. The World Trade Center bombing, the attack itself did not cost very much. What costs a lot of money is paying billions of dollars is to prepare the infrastructure from which to recruit people, train them, indoctrinate them, give them weapons, travel expenses, take care of their families, etc. So I don't know that we can do that, because as things are standing now, this is being done. This is not really even money laundering. Most often it is sending good money for bad use.
So is there any sort of strategy that could be moderately effective if it's impossible to break up this system?
I know that after 9/11, there were attempts to regulate hawalas to establish them officially. And there are some hawala dealers that are registered in India and in Pakistan and elsewhere. Dubai is a big place for it. But there are also banks that receive preferable locations where people who use the hawala system like to transfer the money. And those sometimes are being used for illegal activities. But again, it's very difficult to find out because you need human intelligence in order to find out what's going on.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, do you suspect that this is how most of the folks who have tried to attack this country in the past number of years have been funded? Or are there other ways that the money gets through as well?
I believe that most of the money goes through the banks, and that a lot of legal money that goes through the banks is being given for being used from countries which are not exactly our friends to fund all kinds of activities in this country. Whether some of the terrorists that we were able to catch have been funded by them? Yeah, well, by hawala deals, by hawala perhaps. But the biggest problem is the funding of the biggest infrastructure of the radicalization of populations in order to be willing to volunteer for terrorist acts is really what we should pay attention to.
Dr. Ehrenfeld, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there since we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld is the author of Funding Evil, How Terrorism is Financed and How to Stop It. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.